Hi, I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to The Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare.
Well, let's do our COVID-19 update. Vaccinations, everybody's talking about.
That's the big thing right now.
And we have three companies, right?
Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson.
And I know you talked about Johnson & Johnson last week. So how safe are the vaccinations?
According to all the experts, extremely safe. Now, of course, all vaccinations have potentials for injury. But what they do is they consider that an acceptable risk and pretty much in line with the normal reactions to vaccinations at this point. Now, there's something called VIRS, which is the vaccine reporting agency that you can go to and report different types of problems. One of the things that after your vaccinations, it's important, they send you a sheet if there are any side effects or symptoms that you have. Afterwards, it's very important to fill those out because they really need to know if there are problems with the vaccinations. Things are still kind of early, and they still might find that something's a problem with one of the vaccinations. Mm-hmm. They really need to know that. There is a reporting, the VIRS reporting, on about a little bit less than 1,000 deaths after the vaccination. They haven't really been able to investigate those at this point, but, you know, that's nothing out of line after a vaccination, but they're still investigating that. Mm-hmm. They did close off the reporting, so you can't get to it until more. I'm not quite sure if they're working on something or, but it was just a little bit less than 1,000 deaths at this point in the United States.
Do we know how many people have gotten the vaccination?
Yeah, I did read it, but I can't actually quote that at this point.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to find out. We'll find
what the percent. Yeah, I mean it's a very small percentage because it's in the millions, obviously. Mm-hmm. I think that it's about 14-15% of the population at this point.
Okay.
So it's a large number.
Uh huh. So if you're sick, should you still get the vaccination?
Well, that's one of the things that they're debating at this point. Mm-hmm. I have known of people who got the vaccination, who had the COVID, and it didn't go well. So
they got it while they had COVID?
Yes. Oh. And that's actually not recommended.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't think so.
Right. Matter of fact, a couple of the deaths were associated with people who did have the COVID infection at the time and then got the vaccination and seemed to be pretty healthy besides that, but did wind up dying there, not quite sure why. So the official CDC information along those lines is if you're really sick, definitely don't get it. Mm-hmm. If it's just mild, they say at this point we don't know of any problem, but I really wouldn't take a chance. Mm-hmm. Because what you're looking at is there's an inflammatory cytokine type of response. If you have the infection, that would be much higher than if you didn't have that. Mm-hmm. So I would say that I would probably get tested before I got the vaccination to make sure that COVID. I didn't have it at the time that I go in for it. You know, if you have a choice along those lines, some people, you know, they are at high risk, but, you know, so it's a judgment call. I would probably talk to your doctor along those lines. But if you have any choice at all and you have the COVID-19, I would not get the vaccination at the same time.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. You know, any vaccination, they say.
Yeah, if you're sick, have a fever, don't get the vaccination at that point, just because it increases the risk of reactions. One of the things, of course, if you have had problems with vaccinations before, do not get these vaccinations because you'll probably have much more likely instance of having a reaction. If you do have any type of situations where you might need an EpiPen, take that with you.
Yeah, they say anybody with allergies need to take an EpiPen.
Right, because they're not quite sure, because some people that have had allergies are having reactions, especially shellfish. So they're not quite sure what it is, but they're trying to figure out how to get those reactions out of the vaccination to make them safer.
Now, what about mixing the vaccinations?
Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. So the Pfizer and Moderna, you have to get two shots, and you can't get Moderna the first time and Pfizer the second time. Mm-hmm. Absolutely no.
Absolutely yeah, and you no. need to know which one it is, you know.
Yes.
Make sure you know.
Yes, and then get it in the proper amount of time. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't get it within the proper timing along those lines, it also really cuts down on the efficacy.
Mm-hmm. And Johnson & Johnson is just one shot, right? The others are two.
Johnson & Johnson is just one shot, which, again, gives it a lot more ease of compliance. Mm-hmm. Because once you get it, you know, you're done. Also, they are not having the reactions. The safety of the Johnson & Johnson is much, much higher.
Okay. So which medications should a person avoid if they're getting the vaccination?
Non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. They mm-hmm. say absolutely do not take those at the time that you are taking, that you're getting the shots.
Okay.
So that's just a big no-no at this point.
And that was which kind of medications again?
Non-steroidal anti-inflammatories.
Okay.
And some people might sit there and say, oh, you know what? I've heard people had problems. Mm-hmm. I'll just take a NSAID beforehand so that I will get through this, and actually increases your chances of having reactions.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So how soon after the virus should you get the vaccine? So if you've had the
COVID, they say wait 90 days.
90 days, okay.
So that's what they're saying on that. Now, one of the things is a problem is some people are getting a the vaccine and then getting the virus.
Mm, afterwards.
Afterwards. Mm-hmm. And then, so am I supposed to get the second shot?
Good question.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And really, you need to talk to your individual, because there are some who are at higher risk and they say, go on ahead and get it. Or some of them are saying, well, I'll just start all over again. Mm-hmm. And it depends on your individual situation. So I would talk to your physician along those lines and mm-hmm. see whether you should wait 90 days, start over again, or if you should go on ahead and get the second shot. And it's dependent upon each individual.
Now, what if you're on an immune suppressant drug?
Now, that's been a really big question, because the people who are in that situation are more at risk for the virus. But one of the things is, while you are on an immune suppressant drug and you get the vaccination, your response is going to be less than optimal. So what you should do is get with your physician, because it all depends on which immune suppressant drug that you're on and your situation. Mm-hmm. And your physician should coordinate that to find out, if you can be off of your immune suppressant drug for a period of time, then that would work best. Mm-hmm. But some people can't. So that would be something that you really, really, one, need the vaccination, but two, you need to have that coordinated with your physician on whether there should be a change on how you're taking it.
Do stress and depression, do they weaken the response to the vaccine?
That is actually a research project that they did and said absolutely. Mm. So one of the things is, as you are getting the vaccination, stop all stress and depression.
Okay. All right. Easy enough.
Yeah. Aren't you glad that I said that?
There's so much stress on not only COVID, but the vaccine. But
I think one of the things, trying to do some stress relieving and depression relieving types of things. Mm-hmm. So, one, you need to reduce stress and depression anyway. Mm-hmm. Counseling is extremely important.
Yes.
I know. Help. Yeah, I mean, we know counselors. We refer people out to psychologists and counselors on a regular basis.
We've had to go.
I mean, we do too.
Last
year.
Yeah.
And but they are full.
Yes, they're busy.
this is a really. I mean, we're talking about 50% of the population is depressed right now, and between 60% and 70% are stressed and anxious. Mm-hmm. So this is a big problem, and one of the things is, pandemics always occur during times of stress. And of course, our political system is not helping anything right now. Mm-hmm. In other words, stop listening to the news while you get your shots. Uh-huh. I'm thinking you almost should anyway.
Yeah, stop scrolling.
Scrolling, the social media. You need mm-hmm. to avoid stressful situations. Mm-hmm. Get counseling for depression. Get massages. Chiropractic care, acupuncture, yoga, meditation, all those different types of things, plenty of sleep. All those things are really important to get the most out of the vaccination.
And they're saying people that go to church.
Oh, church is actually one of the most important things.
Yeah, 26% are less likely.
Oh, yeah, the amount of stress and depression for those people who are going to church during this time is dramatically better than the average population. They say
getting outside, the weather's turning nice.
Weather, all those types of things. So those should be conscious things.
What about supplements? We do a lot of natural supplementation at the Prather Practice.
There is no doubt that supplements improve your immune response. So getting your vitamin
D
checked.
Enhance the response to the vaccine, yeah.
Yes, finding out which supplements you need, going to a doctor who can help you to determine that through blood work, taking those always helps out with your immune, and it helps with your immune response. So if you can do those things, you'll get a much better bang for the shot.
Bang for the shot. All right. Well, thank you for the update.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to talk about nickel toxicity. You're saying it's one of...
it is the...
The...
Most what? Toxic metal.
Okay. So nickel toxicity, the most.
The most.
All right.
No doubt about it.
And what you need to know. So we'll be right back.
You can win a free 60-minute massage in a relaxing spa at the Prather Practice. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.
The Voice of Health Wellness Tip featuring Rapid Release Technology.
One of the chiropractic friends who is a soft tissue expert, his textbook, Soft Tissue Therapy, is the one used in medical schools, heavily used as sort of the Bible for soft tissue work. And as soon as he saw rapid release, he switched all of his treatments over to the rapid release because it's much easier on the doctor. You get quicker results, less painful, much better compliance. So when people would be coming in for the grass and they would be going, I like the results, but I don't know if I really want to do that. Whereas with rapid release, they come running in and really want that done.
Because yeah, they ask like, for it.
Yeah, they're like, okay, we got you cured, but can I have it again anyway?
Well, many patients have bought them.
It's an amazing device and incredible results. It's a great way to get your body relaxed and get those aches and pains out of your system.
As you're using the rapid release, you can see people go into that deep breathing and going more into that, what we call the parasympathetic mode or the rest and digest.
Really switches and has a huge effect on the nervous system.
And the sessions aren't long. You just do a few minutes in each area.
One of the patients recently with a massage therapist, that she was doing a massage on him. She's going, boy, I'm just having trouble really getting this released. I walked out, got the rapid release, and she did it. And the patient was like, oh my gosh, that's incredible. And she was saying, you know, I got to use that more. To get those problem areas, it works so much quicker, so much easier. It just takes off all the stress of me trying to really work that out. And it's easier on the patient too.
Relax muscles and release aches, pains, and tension through rapid-release high-speed vibration therapy. Experience the benefits of rapid-release therapy by scheduling an appointment at the Prather Practice. And to purchase your own, go to our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. Click on the rapid-release banner and enter code PRATHER for a $100 discount available to the Voice of Health Radio listeners.
Detailed lab tests are crucial to understanding your health. As Dr. Prather always says, if you don't test, you don't know. There are certain lab tests that all of us should have at least once per year. At the Prather Practice, we recommend three affordable tests that provide the blueprint to your health. The Prather Profile is the most comprehensive blood analysis available, providing more information about the function of your body than any other test. Minerals are the common deficiencies in the body, and hair analysis is the most effective way to analyze mineral levels. The bowels have the largest influence on the immune system, and the best way to test that is through the GI Effects Toolkit. The Prather Profile Blood Analysis and the GI Effects Toolkit are even covered by most insurances. Don't guess when it comes to your health. Discover the blueprint to your health at the Prather Practice by calling us at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest.
We're going to talk about nickel toxicity and what you need to know. Dr. Prather, you said it's the most toxic
heavy metal out there.
Okay.
In matter of fact, the CDC, we have a notebook on their warnings on that. It was 395 pages long.
Wow.
And the Human Health Services actually put out there that nickel was the most dangerous, the most toxic, and most easily absorbed toxic metal out there.
And we've done shows on the other metals.
Right.
Aluminum, mercury. But we've never done a show on nickel.
Right, and I've mentioned several times that that's the most dangerous.
Yeah.
And so time that we get to talk about it.
So what is nickel?
Well, nickel is a nice shiny metal. It gives a nice kind of glow to everything. Mm-hmm. So it's something that's used quite a bit. A nickel used to be made out of nickel.
Uh-huh.
Which is, it had a lot of value. No, it is not. But it is a nice shiny metal, so it's used quite a bit in manufacturing processes.
How about jewelry? I think
stuff.
Of it in... in fact, our daughter was wearing earrings that had nickel in them, and she would react.
Remember oh, interestingly enough, jewelry is one of the most common ways that you can get nickel toxicity. Mm-hmm. into your
okay.
system. So jewelry is one of the biggest things, and then people who make jewelry are one of the groups that are at high risk for nickel. So any type of jewelers out there who do that, who make it, who work with it, that's a big area that you can actually get problems. So it's cookware, anything that has kind of shiny.
Mm-hmm.
So they put it on cars. Batteries are very dependent upon nickel. That's one of the biggest reasons why they say that you have to put batteries in a special container and get rid of them because of the toxicity of the nickel getting into the soil and stuff. Cosmetics, they have it in there. Baking powder, they use nickel in. Dental restorations and orthodontics.
Mm-hmm.
One of the areas that we've had people with nickel toxicity is young kids, and women are actually more susceptible to it. So we've had several girls who had orthodontics done, and their nickel toxicity went right through the roof while they were having that, because they use that quite a bit. They might use them also for amalgams. That's one of the things that we find to kind of harden it up is the nickel toxicity. And then imitation whipped cream uses a lot of nickel.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
That might taste so good.
Peanut butter, hydrogenated peanut butter. They actually use nickel to work with that. Margarine and imitation butter spreads uses a lot of nickel.
I'm getting there's a word here, imitation.
Imitation, yes. Stents.
Oh, wow.
So they use it in stents, and I've found people who have stents oftentimes will have high nickel. And they might also use nickel in prosthetics or, like on a hip replacement, knee replacement.
Oh.
They might have it lined with nickel.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, the person's nickel goes right through the roof and becomes toxic enough that they have to go in and remove it.
Wow.
So that's a big type of thing. Tobacco. Also, they use a lot of nickel in there. And then it can also get into the water supplies and a vegetable shortening also. So you can see there's a lot of things that you can get mm-hmm. nickel from.
Yeah. You made me think, too, that we need to make sure we dispose of things correctly, the batteries.
The batteries is a huge source of nickel, and that's what they are really concerned about. Because, again, nickel is the most toxic metal out there.
So how toxic is nickel?
Nickel, they list the different types of things that occur with nickel in the CDC. First one is death.
First one is death. Sorry, that's not funny.
It will kill you.
Uh-huh.
Okay. It's systemic effects. I mean, in other words, it affects everything, every organ of the body, especially the kidneys. So you have a complete systemic... Every organ of your body starts to fail. Your immune system collapses. As a matter of fact, one of the things we found is that nickel was an underlying cause of autoimmune diseases. Once we got rid of the nickel, the autoimmune disease was gone. A neurology. One of the things that we see quite a bit is upper motor neuron issues, ALS, MS, so on and so on, Lou Gehrig's disease. Oftentimes, the underlying cause is nickel toxicity. So it really damages the upper motors and causes a tremendous number of neurological types of issues. Infertility just absolutely destroys both the fertility in males and females. It causes genotoxicity, developmental issues. So we get moms who have nickel toxicity are going to have problems with the genetics of the child, guaranteed. Cancer. It is one of the most carcinogenous products known to man.
Mm. And besides then, of course, that, it's the immune system.
Yeah, besides that, it's okay.
Yeah, this is an issue.
It's a very big issue.
How often do you see it in your office?
Well, that's one of the nice things. It's the most rare. Mm-hmm. But whenever we see it, we know that this is an emergency. Matter of fact, we have different classifications on patients. If we see nickel, we consider that a crisis situation. Mm-hmm. So one of the reasons that we don't see it very often is because if people get it, usually they wind up dying. Mm-hmm. So once we see that, we move on it pretty quickly to try to get that under control.
So how common is nickel toxicity?
I would probably, when I look at my patient base, I've only see about less than 10 a year.
Okay.
So, whereas aluminum, it's almost really common. Mm-hmm. We see that probably is the most common one.
Aluminum toxicity.
Mercury is a lot more common. Lead. All those are pretty normal to see mm-hmm. on a regular basis. Nickel toxicity is something that is rare. But whenever we do see it, we consider that an emergency.
You said a crisis care.
Right.
How's it absorbed into the body?
The worst way is inhaling it.
Hmm. So you said tobacco.
Yeah. So yeah. Tobacco is one of the big culprits along those lines. And one of the reasons that people develop cancer so easily is because of the nickel in the cigarettes. Mm-hmm. One of the situations we had was someone had nickel pipes in their water. And whenever they took a shower, they were breathing in the nickel. Mm. And that was a dangerous situation. The person was dying, didn't know why. So we figured that out.
Was that an older home?
Older home, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Oral. That's why it's so important on the amalgams and also on the nickel orthodontics. Mm-hmm. Dermal, skin. One of the things that we were talking about was the jewelry mm-hmm. and ear piercings. If you have nickel, never have nickel as one of your
all piercings,
Yes. And one of the things that happens is you get a rash associated mm-hmm. with it. And also you can get a kind of a blue color if you're having a nickel response.
That's what happened to our daughter,
The skin. And 40% of all women are sensitive to nickel. Nickel actually hits women and for some reason is absorbed easier mm. in women than in men. Only 5% of men have a reaction to nickel, but 40% of all women are allergic and are, once they become allergic, are more sensitive to absorbing nickel into their system.
Interesting.
Right.
Well, why don't we take a break now? Because we're going to talk about, how to test for nickel when we get back. We'll be right back.
Sounds good.
Listen to the Voice of Health Radio on your smartphone or tablet on all of the top radio apps available. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. You can find these apps and more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is the Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. Laughter is the best medicine.
People that work in hospitals are truly amazing people. They are so nice and supportive. It makes you suspicious, right? Are they stealing the drugs? They're a little too excited to be around sick people in pajamas. And when I say sick, I'm not talking about the positive slang, right? Because that's part of our language, right? That jacket is sick! But you don't want a medical professional to be like, your test results are sick! I mean, let me clarify, you're dying.
The Voice of Health Minute with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
We had a patient who was brought to me because he had over a 90%, well, I've had several, who had over a 90% blockage of their arteries. He was scheduled for surgery. His cardiologist came in and said he will never get up off the table, even though he has 98% blockage in some of his heart arteries. We started the ECP. After we had done it, they said that there was less than 10% blockage in his arteries. I had another patient, 90% blockage in her arteries. They were doing the surgery. They did one side. She had a stroke. They brought her in because they said that they couldn't do the other side because of her stroke condition. We did the ECP on her, had it measured afterwards. Her arteries were actually clearer on the non-surgical side than on the surgical side. You can actually open up the arteries and actually have a substitute for having a heart bypass.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. Are you experiencing muscle pain or tightness anywhere on your body? Try the Rapid Release Therapy Pro 2. The Pro 2 is a targeted high-speed vibration therapy device used by medical professionals to quickly relieve a wide variety of aches and pains on their patients, as well as themselves, their friends, and their families. Safe, effective, and easy to use, this professional quality medical device uses a patent treatment head with 5 built-in heads, giving you the versatility to treat small bony surfaces, such as fingers, wrists, and ankles. Powerful enough to quickly relax the tightest hips on professional athletes and everything in between. Unlike the low-speed percussive devices, rapid-release therapy delivers for sensitive areas like joints, neck, and ankles safely and comfortably and provides the raw power your larger muscle groups need. Go to our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. Click on the rapid-release banner and enter code PRATHER for a $100 discount for the Voice of Health Radio listeners. I was feeling so bad. I asked my family doctor just what I had. I said, doctor, doctor. I'm Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where we get to the root cause of your health issue.
Well, we're talking about nipple toxicity, what you need to know. And Dr. Prather, you were saying women are 40% more susceptible?
Yeah, about 40% of all women have a nickel allergy. Mm-hmm. And when you have a nickel allergy, you're much more likely to be able to absorb the nickel and keep it than a normal person. So one of the things is that nickel toxicity is more common in females than in males. And have the response to the jewelry. So one of the things you should do is never buy nickel jewelry.
Mm-hmm. Make sure to check it.
Especially for piercings.
That means that you got to get more expensive jewelry.
Correct. Correct. So that is a big problem. Now the other group that's more susceptible are children. Mm. So children, if I see nickel in a child's hair analysis, that child usually has a lot of illnesses. Mm-hmm. They can have a tremendous number of skin issues. And it is 4 times more likely to be able to absorb to the nervous system than an adult. So you can really get some neurological problems and really have to check that. Children and women are really the big ones. Men, usually what we find on them is that they have some type, they've been diagnosed with some type of upper motor neuron that would be ALS, MS, something along those lines. Lou Gehrig's disease are the common types of things. Even Parkinson's symptoms they've been diagnosed with. But that they've got those symptoms, you're not getting to the underlying cause. Mm-hmm. So one of the things we have had that's been a real issue is we've had a couple of ALS patients who came to me, but they were already pretty advanced. And each one of those had nickel as an underlying issue, as a heavy metal. Mm. And we started the process of trying to get that out and help them. However, before we could get, we actually wound up getting the nickel out, but by then the amount of damage to the body was, and the nervous system was always too great, and they went ahead and expired. So, you know, it's a, unfortunately, that's not something that the normal medical system is actually checking for in those types of situations. And by the time that we were able to find that out, it was actually too late for the individual.
That's why it's so important we talk about, you know, getting your diagnostics.
Correct.
Annually.
Right.
You know, the blood work. We do comprehensive blood work.
Right.
And we're going to talk now about the hair analysis.
Sure.
And the stool kit, you know, so you're checking on a yearly basis.
Right, right, right.
So let's talk about how is nickel toxicity diagnosed?
Nickel toxicity, now if you have an acute, in other words, if you were in an industrial type of situation, one of the things that the U.S. government requires, OSHA requires, is that if you are in an occupation where you have a high exposure, then you have to do blood tests on a regular basis to find it out. So if you have...
Is that in manufacturing?
Manufacturing,
okay.
Yes. Auto manufacturing, any type of plating that they do that, to make things shiny, you're going to be using nickel. So that is a basic type of requirement, something that they found, and something that they check on a regular basis. But if it's more of an accumulation, the best way to check that out is through a hair analysis, where you actually find it. That is a very strong correlation between the symptomatology, the toxicity to the system, is found in the hair. So,
and we use one of the top labs
yes.
in the world.
So it's a excellent way to find out, and also another way to check on it. One thing that some people do is a more of a chelation and then check on the urine to see, but quite frankly, everybody has nickel in their system. Doesn't mean that it's toxic. Matter of fact, you need small amounts of nickel to function normally, and most people don't get an overexposure. But if you do get an overexposure, then it's quite a problem. So we find that the hair analysis is very accurate. And in our situations, if we felt that someone had come in and had a recent exposure to nickel, we would check on the blood. So let's, like the gentleman who had the shower situation, what we did is we found it on the hair analysis, and it was extremely high amount. Was starting to detox it, but found that the that it wasn't dropping as it should. So then we also did a blood test on him to see if it was a recent, you know, if he was actually getting it, and he was showing up high nickel
so
in his blood.
So he was getting it.
So he was getting at that time. It wasn't an accumulation, but was an acute type of situation. So then we know that one of the first things we need to do is check his water supply. Had that checked, and it was specifically in the shower that he was getting that.
He's the one with the pipes, the old.
Yeah, the nickel pipes.
What'd they do?
You know, they had to take out the pipes and replace them.
Yeah.
But that did save his life. He would have died from taking a shower, which is, you know, a scary type of thought.
Right, right. Interesting. So the hair analysis, how often should a hair analysis be done?
A hair analysis should be done on everyone at least once a year. That's sort of a, should be an annual check. You know, when they list out all the different types of checks that you should do, the hair analysis should probably be one of the top things that you do. Now for, you know, especially for children, one of the things that I stated is children are 40% more likely to be able to, well, actually, it's interesting because boys will absorb heavy metals quicker than girls.
Why is that?
It's a difference in the testosterone. It makes a greater permeability, especially to the nervous system. So boys can absorb things into their nervous system quicker. No comment. But you know, it can really hit both of them. But kids are one, just by their very nature, absorb things quicker. So they are much more likely to be able to absorb a heavy metal.
Remember that whole movement on lead and lead poisoning?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And when the Center of Disease Control did a study on children, they found that 65% of all children in the United States have some form of heavy metal toxicity that they're dealing with.
65%.
And a lot of the learning disabilities, matter of fact, if you have a certain time period of lead in the kid's body, it reduces the IQ by a certain amount, and it's permanent. So, you know, as you're looking at your children and trying to determine what you can do for their health, I always recommend that a hair analysis should be done.
So what have you seen? How successful have you been at removing nickel from the body?
We are 100% successful at removing nickel from the body.
Do you do that through supplementation?
Yes, we have a form of chelating it. We use one of the secrets on that is really homeopathy. Homeopathy is probably one of the best ways to try to get that out. And also, one of the there are antagonists to the nickel. One of the ways that that they do medically is to do chelation, but you have to be careful with that because it can damage the kidneys as it goes through. One of the most common things that we see with nickel toxicity is kidney damage, and it's pretty hard on the system.
You're talking about more like an IV chelation.
Yeah, an IV chelation.
Yeah.
And we find that IV chelation can oftentimes cause different types of damage. Sometimes it's necessary in real acute situations that you get that done. But we have found that oral chelation works just as well as IV chelation, and that if you need to support the body at the same time, and homeopathy is the easiest, most gentle way of getting it out, but we always have to support the kidneys and the liver as we're detoxing the detoxing that heavy metal. Very, very important that you watch that.
Right. You know, and as you're talking, I think everything goes back to homeostasis.
Homeostasis is absolutely critical. A little bit of nickel is actually important for survival. Too much nickel is a terrible toxin type of area.
Well, and I know I get my hair analysis twice a year.
Sure.
I can tend to be high in copper.
Yes.
And that's that copper-zinc ratio. So the gal that does my hair, she knows how to... Well, she'll collect my hair, make sure that it doesn't fall on the floor and get combined with someone else's.
Right, right. I just did my hair analysis, and I hadn't had heavy metals for forever, but I was high in mercury. And I had just, we had been down in Florida for 2 weeks, and all I ate was seafood.
Yes.
Especially a lot of oysters and mussels.
Yes, you did.
And those are really one of the main areas, because what the oysters and mussels actually clean the ocean. That's their job. So as they were cleaning it, they absorbed a lot of mercury, and I ate a whole bunch of them, and my mercury was high. Showed up pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So I'm actually detoxing the mercury, and as soon as I started that, I started feeling, because I was a little bit run down, probably from the mercury. As soon as I started that, I started feeling better.
Yes, you did. Isn't that interesting? And it happened so quickly.
Right. But I get my hair analysis every 3 months on clockwork.
Yeah.
So I pick it up pretty quickly.
I'm glad you're taking care of yourself.
I better.
And you're 2 massages a week.
Yes, yes.
Keeps you going.
I got to keep my stress level down so I keep my immune system up.
All right.
All right.
When we come back, we're going to join with Michaela. Michaela's going to share her story of her journey at the Prather practice.
All right. Thank you, Lisa.
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice. Dr. Prather, what makes your approach and emphasis on the thyroid unique?
We look at it structure-functionally, where homeostasis is what is important. Mm-hmm. And homeostasis is a balance, and there's a balance in the thyroid that should be achieved, which you can determine. And the people who have a normally balanced thyroid homeostasis is probably less than 1%.
Wow.
Of the population. There are two systems that control the rest of the body, the nervous system and then also the endocrine system. And as I tell the patients, those are the two things that we need to get fixed first. Mm. You have to have a proper functioning nervous system and a proper functioning endocrine system to be healthy. And the thyroid is sort of the workhorse of the endocrine system. And many of the problems that we see in patients, once we get the thyroid balanced out, a lot of the issues start to clear up. The people who come in here, often 80% of them have had their, because they felt that their thyroid was a problem.
Had them checked,
and they were told that they were normal when...
Why is that?
They're not doing the proper blood tests. They're not reading them correctly. Doctors aren't being specific enough on what the thyroid number should be. The American Thyroid Association has said that the numbers need to be much, much tighter than what they are. There's a different type of a evaluation. There's reference range, and then there's homeostasis. What is a perfect homeostasis? The labs aren't there to tell you what the blood work should be. Mm-hmm. They're just saying, of the people who come in here, 50% of them have this number. Reference range has nothing to do with where you know, mm-hmm. you should be.
Right.
That's
I know
not
you
what
look way beyond them and right. tell people, you know, and they come in, well, my doctor said, you know, this right. was normal. And
yeah. I say, no, that's mm-hmm. that's not normal. I even find endocrinologists mm-hmm. Not reading lab tests properly mm-hmm. to really understand where that should be, because when we get people into homeostasis range, mm-hmm. their symptoms go away. That's where they go, oh, wow, I feel really great. All the different things that I was complaining about are all of a sudden now working properly, and that's because they are in the range that I tell them that they should be in.
Right.
Because those are the proper ranges that need to be there.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients. Well, I have Michaela here. Welcome, Michaela.
Welcome. Thank you so much.
I'm so glad to have you. You're going to share your story,
yeah.
your experience here at The Prather Practice.
Perfect.
And we appreciate you wanting to do that.
Yeah.
I know someone out there will be listening and can relate to your story, and maybe we could help them also. Tell us a little bit about your journey. When did it start here at the Prather Practice?
Yeah. So in order to hear how I came here, we need to go back to when things first started happening. So about my junior, senior year in high school, mm-hmm. I was in a pretty severe car accident, and I was on an unfamiliar road and hit a big four-door pickup truck that was at a dead stop going 45 miles an hour.
Wow.
And so I blacked out on impact, and thankfully, I was able to walk away from that accident. I didn't have any external damage. I wasn't cut. I didn't have acid burn from the airbags or anything like that. So I thought I was okay. And then a year or two later, I started having internal issues, and my back was just really starting to irritate me. And I was uncomfortable moving and bending down and twisting. And so what I found out later was from that impact, from that accident, all my bones had shifted. And because I didn't take care of it right away, the muscle formed around those bones. And so then it became a whole back issue where I was chronically having issues with it. And
you probably had some scar tissue too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you get in this accident, you're going 45. Yeah. Did you go and get x-ray? Did you go to the hospital?
No, wow. I...
You're young. You're young.
Yeah, and the Lord just protected me in it. Yes. And so I walked away with my sister, and she came to pick me up. I went home, next day went on like nothing happened.
And then 2 years later.
Yeah, about 2 years later, I started having symptoms of the accident.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you're in college at that time?
I was in high school. Well, yeah, 2 years later, I was probably a freshman in college.
Okay.
And I was dating my husband at the time, and he said I should probably check out Prather Practice. And so that's what landed me in your doors.
Yeah, I think your husband had started as a child.
Yes. Yeah.
We have pictures and video of that.
Oh, no.
I have to show you.
Yeah, please do.
So when did you start then coming to the Prather Practice?
You guys were having a promotional day where you offered a package deal of an x-ray, a consult with Prather, and something else. And I was in college, and so finances were difficult. Mm-hmm. And so I waited for the promo day, came in, and I was pretty disturbed with the x-rays. Mm-hmm. And my back had jade into my hip. My hips were rotated a certain degree forward. And with my hips rotated forward, another bone was like rotated the other way. So it was creating a corkscrew effect. And so that's why I was always feeling that tension. And there were a few other issues with my back. And so you guys threw me into a consult room and told me what you thought was best. Mm-hmm. But again, at that time with college, it just, the finances weren't there for me. Mm-hmm. And so I saved up, waited about another year and a half, and then began my intensive treatment program.
Oh. So what was it like seeing your bones in the x-ray? I mean,
you said
it was disturbing.
It was. At first, I thought it was someone else's. I remember asking
Dr. Dodge. Are you sure these are mine?
Yeah. I remember thinking like, oh, is this like an example that you're about to show me?
Gosh.
And it was even, my x-rays were even shipped out. You guys outsourced them to another company to check.
Yeah, we have one of the top radiologists with the report. Yeah.
Yeah, just to confirm everything because it was so manipulated. My back was very manipulated from where it was originally. And so it just all made sense in that moment. Like it took me a second to process, to let it sink in. And then when I realized, oh, well, that makes sense when I turn left, well, that bone's hitting this. And then, so it just made sense. And I had someone who sat down with me and explained everything with me. And that was just very helpful.
Mm-hmm. No surprises. You knew how much it was going to cost.
Yes.
And then made the decision to save up.
Yes.
I'm impressed with that, how
responsible
you are. Now, tell me about that year then. How were you suffering? What was going on physically?
Yeah, so again, my boyfriend, now husband, we are very active. And so we love hiking, we explore national parks throughout the U.S. and we rock climb. And so that was really difficult. I remember being fearful of just sitting on a plane for 2 hours because my hips were getting so bad that they would just lock up when I was sitting for a couple hours, and they would spasm and I'd have to stand up and I was in extreme pain. And so we were constantly having to work our schedules around when I needed a break to stretch, whether that was on the road, pulling over every 2 hours on a rest stop and stretching, or on a plane, maybe doing two flights instead of one because of the time duration. So it was bad.
And you're young.
Yeah, 22 at the time.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you come back, you start the treatment.
Yep.
What services did you receive?
I was on a 12-week treatment plan, and it was pretty intensive. Every week I came in, and I got chiropractor work, I got occupational therapy time, and they did KT taping, I did the tension table, and just a few odds and ends if I needed it. Mm-hmm. That week, they would do a few other services. So it was pretty intense for 12 weeks.
Yeah, kind of the physical. So you had the chiropractic, the rehab, the taping, the traction table.
And no one told me how bad that tape would hurt coming off. So that was probably the worst part.
The worst part?
Yeah.
Taking the tape off.
Yes.
So what kind of results did you see?
The very first week, it was the first time I'd ever had any type of bone shifting or anything in my life. I know some kids grow up doing that regularly. And so
Would you say it was gentle?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I was very surprised because I think people hear the word chiropractor and they instantly think popping and cracking and twisting and all that. And it wasn't that at all. It blew my mind. I remember telling Dr. Dodge that...
I call you home Dodge.
Yeah. Dr. Dodge. I remember telling him, I don't believe you. Like, I remember being so serious and being like, this seems too easy, and it seems almost phony. Like, how is this working? And I'm just being honest, and I don't believe it.
Did you move anything? Or
he did, yeah.
He was just so gentle.
There was no popping involved. He was manipulating the muscle instead of the bone necessarily. Like, I don't understand it, but I just remember thinking, there's no way this is working, and I was frustrated that I had poured money into this in the beginning. And about 3 to 4 weeks later, I was like blown away with, oh, I can sit my whole 2 hours without getting uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And my hips are no longer popping every time I stand up. Just the simple things that I wanted to get better started getting better.
Wow.
And so I was like, okay, I don't understand it, but it has to be working.
And that was 3 to 4 weeks after you started it.
Yep.
So it's very important to be patient. You had suffered since high school.
Yeah, that takes time because you're not just retraining the bones, you're retraining the muscle because it has its muscle memory. It's going back to where it's been for 3 years.
Right.
And so it took a few weeks for it to, KT tape helped a lot with that.
And I know initially you had some soreness after the adjustment because things are shifting.
Yeah, it was very sore, which again was told, like that was told to me, that was going to be expected, that I was going to be pretty sore for the first couple weeks.
Yeah,
and they were right.
So that's been a year now since your treatment plan.
Yeah,
where are you physically now?
It's incredible, Lisa. Like I am able to do things with my husband that I love, and my body is just the Lord's vessel, and I'm able to do ministry work with it that I was hindered before with. And so it's just nice to be able to, my neighbor comes over and needs help with lawn work or needs help moving something downstairs, and I can, no problem, let me jump up and help versus...
Will you be my neighbor?
Yeah, absolutely.
I want you to be my neighbor.
Yeah, and so it's just, it's changed the way I do ministry. It's changed the way I interact with my husband. It's just... It's been really great for us and for me.
Well, and I know you have been a bright, shining star. All the employees love when you come in.
Oh, goodness.
So what is your treatment plan now?
Yeah.
How often are you coming in?
So I am on a monthly treatment plan. So I come in once a month and just get adjusted. And some weeks, if Dodge tells me, hey, like, I feel more tension here, I think something's maybe shifting more than normal, I can go over to rehab to help with that. But usually it's just chiropractic work.
And we get to see you once a month.
Yes. And I love it. Those girls back there, they made the process worth it. They just loved me.
Yeah.
They loved me well. They invested in me. They took time to know my family, know my story, what brought me in, what interests me, what are my hobbies. They're relational. I need that.
That's neat. So if there's someone listening that has physical issues they've been dealing with for a while, what would you say to them?
My first thought is to get in. Wherever that is, get the help that your body needs. And I think my follow-up is, but be wise with it. If you're not at a place where you don't have the resources, whether that's money or that's time, because to me, I was in school, so I had to figure out my class schedule to leave because it was over an hour to drive here and to come back. And so be wise with it, save up for it, but work towards it, because once you start it, you will be amazed with what your body can do to heal itself and the people that God has gifted with these talents to do this for you. Like, it's just, it opens your world to the things that the Lord has for you. And so it's just, I would say do it.
Yeah.
But be wise.
Well, thank you so much for your time and sharing your story. And
absolutely,
I know it's going to be helpful to someone out there. Thank you, Michaela.
You're welcome.
The Prather Practice is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again here next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.